我也祝各位那么多幸运结果来说一生的不如这大梦结果放弃了大压面
生活结局怎么做
结束那么
想去我搬到大内社区去
找一句句结别说那么结祝
我便是所结祝福来说生活结局怎么做说那么老我想去我搬到大内社区去找一句句结别说那么祝我便是所结祝福来说生活结局怎么做
结束那么成就不足到你想说谁到底去去一边说弄天落了这些事情就不是说
我老是马上能给他的女生你他们去对的他家老男人把养大把作为三姐姐恐怕他们就跟着就他们下过替他们下雨接着他们去了嘛就三年被跟了三姐姐三姐姐三姐姐三姐姐三姐姐三
Let us cultivate the altruistic motivation seeking complete enlightenment for the sake of liberating infinite, kind, mother sentient beings. With that kind of altruistic motivation, we call bodhicitta motivation, that we should all participate in this teaching.
Honest, Tangaran Samaloga, any Giranta Yeji Tendo, Tosalana Mevai, Andabazovi Sanji Compondi, Toyaka, Tandevache, the Chedo and the Tambuchu to sing your voice.
I believe that we are all, you know, aspiring for complete enlightenment in order to benefit others as well as ourselves. And taking complete enlightenment as our ultimate spiritual goal, we are, you know, pursuing spirituality actualize that goal.
Rāng sō anī tē shēwa nī shēwa jī nī anī tā tā rūmbū jī bā sāng tāng nī anī sāngjī kōmbā tōyā tēn tī ngī gu gu rīs.
I think it is important for us to keep, if you will, a long-range perspective as we pursue complete enlightenment. That is to say that it may take many lifetimes for us to reach complete enlightened state, and even if that be so we should really have that long time perspective that even if it takes, you know, like, you know, successive lifetimes to get there, but we will pursue it.
Well, that indeed, ani tin rumbu ji ta sanji ji kompa to je den den yer ni to be seba la ani ta lam cho du be te chong ji ne ba de seba ji ni to gu ma res.
It is in that regard, it is also essential for us to find good rebirths, or in other words, precious human life in our successive lifetimes, so that we have the most suitable life to continue our spiritual journey towards enlightenment.
That indeed, the great thing, any time you remember, any young woman and son of us, Penna, Lamcho Dula, Tiny Tony, Money Cardos, Sashi Mimus. On Lamcho Dube, ten Chabaji, Money Pardo, that dreaming in the Dakar Segurita, on Sashi Chimbutan, the Chimbutan Gumaris Ganando was.
That's what exactly Manjushri Lama Tsongkhapa has stated in his lines of experience or songs of experience realizations. And as Kesala quoted the stanza from his memory, which basically states that if we don't find a suitable life basis in order to be able to cultivate the highest form of spiritual path, then we may not be able to make that much of an advancement or a progress in our spiritual development. While we might make small progress here and there in other life forms, but to be able to make great advancement and progress in our spiritual development, it is essential for us to find precious human life, fully endowed human form, that is the most suitable life for spiritual cultivation. And Lama Tsongkhapa further states that to be able to find the most suitable life for spiritual advancement, we must also create the necessary causes and conditions to have that kind of life. Because we cannot have the most suitable life basis for spiritual development if we do not create or accumulate its necessary causes and conditions, because nothing really comes into existence without these causes and
conditions.
So then the question is, what are the necessary causes and conditions that we must create and accumulate in order to be able to have this kind of fully endowed human form, precious human life, the most suitable life for spiritual development in our future lives? Basically, there are three things being said. Number one, we need to abide by pure ethics. We need to make, we need to combine that pure ethical practice, if you will, or action, with the six perfection practices, such as the practice of giving or generosity. And then we also need to make pure dedication of our practice and merit we earn from our action and practice. So these are the necessary causes and conditions for us to be able to have a fully endowed human form or precious human life, which comes to the same thing in our future lives. And Manjushri Lama Tsongkhapa has also pinpointedly stated in his lines of experience or songs of realizations that we need to purify ourselves of delusions and contaminated karmic actions or karmic obscurations that we have. In other words, that our actions of body, speech, and mind are usually contaminated by deluded states of mind that we have within us. And so because our actions are deluded, so these actions need to be purified. And our ultimate goal is to be able to get rid of delusions and contaminated karmic actions for good. And so once we have really already created deluded actions or negative actions, that the only thing left for us to do now, of all the things, the atomic acts, the atomic obscurations we have already accumulated, is to engage in purification practice. So this is where it is essential for us to apply what is known as the four powerful antidotes, or in Tibetan called Nyenbo Topshi, the power of four antidotes, or some even translate as the power of opponent forces. So there are four things here. So we need to apply the four powerful antidotes in order to have effective purification of karmic obscurations, from within ourselves. And that's very, very important.
Mm-hmm. But the 아니 딱 그런 건 되고 막 이렇게 사 심부터 아니 제가 보긴 해 봤어 신고는 일단 진대가 진들 누가 막 이렇게 사바 뒤 챔피 뒤 챔피 쇼 통만 몇 번 딱 좀은 쇼 지니페 그거 이제 누가 막 이렇게 사 그 처음을 당에 그 하마고 신 뜨무고 왕게 유명고 왕게 무슨 레스도 막 사이 딱 베스트 사이 수수에니 토베는 도수는 다 두드 파세야 탑기 오지 탑기 오지 상동을 뜬다기 시작으로서
Just to briefly explain what are the four powerful antidotes, or the power of antidotes, opponent forces. Number one, all the negativities and karmic obscurations that we have accumulated already, not only in this lifetime, but also in many previous lifetimes. As a matter of fact, from Buddhist explanation, since time immemorial, we have accumulated so many negativities. And so in order to purify them, which we must purify, we must strongly regret for all the negativities and that we have already done and accumulated. And we should be really sincere in really regretting for such actions. And an example that's often given to illustrate the point is, let's say if we have consumed poison has gone into our system, how much would we regret for that thing happened to us? And we will do everything possible, to detoxify ourselves, to get the poison out of our system. So we have so much regret for that, how the poison got into us. In the same way, we should have strong, genuine regret for the negative actions that we have accumulated for over many lifetimes, of course, under the influence of delusions or afflicted emotions, so that is an essential component of the powerful antidotes to purify negativities.
So
in other words, that we have accumulated many negativities in this life under the influence of deluded states of mind, particularly ignorance. Looking at the negativities that we could recall that we have done in this lifetime, based upon that we could infer that in our previous lifetimes, we may have done, as a matter of fact, hundred or thousand folds more negativities under the influence of ignorance, attachment, anger, and other forms of delusions. And so those are the things we should really regret very much about. And of course, the important thing I'm trying to say is we have to understand, of course, learn about what are the negativities that we are really generating or feeling regret about, having done or having them within our mind. And so often we talk about the usual 10 negativities of body, speech, and mind. There are the three negative actions of body, four of the speech, three of the mind. So we have not only done these negativities in this lifetime, but 100,000 times more in previous lifetimes. And this is what we are talking about. We need to sincerely and genuinely regret or develop contrition for all these negativities already accumulated. Of course, it starts with generating strong regret or contrition for the negativities we have already accumulated, either knowingly or unknowingly, whatever the case may be. But that is not enough in itself. When we strongly regret for the negativities and delusions we already have and we have done, then another thing is that important part of the opponent forces or antidotes is that we strongly resolve not to repeat them or do them again. So that is also very important, that we regret for the things which already done, you know, but now we learn from that and we resolve not to do them again. So that's called the power of resolution.
That thing is top saying, that kind of change the same combat. And it only to be sharing of the name, Tombany combat. And then there's only things that I hear you, yeah, things that the hear you, the young kid, and do singing at the alley, so you only can do it, I'll be cheered.
So we strongly regret for the delusions that we have and the negativities that we have already done, and we resolve not to repeat our deluded actions again. And then also another component of the powerful antidotes is what we call the power of reliance, in Tibetan called Tenjito. So this is explained in many some different ways, but some people say it refers to the object of refuge and so on. But what I want to explain here is that, you know, we cultivate bodhicitta, or the altruistic mind of enlightenment, bodhisattva's attitude, that we cultivate the wisdom realizing emptiness as it is, the ultimate nature of phenomena, the way in which phenomena actually exist. And we could also be cultivating a certain meditational deity. So all of these are important part of purification practice. Of course, you know, there are zillions of other practices, such as cultivating the four immeasurables, such as immeasurable love, immeasurable joy, or that cultivating great love, great compassion, and all of these things, are what we call part of the purification practice.
Well, that,
So one of the four powerful antidotes that opponent forces is called the application of actual antidotes. And so we basically, you can think of any spiritual antidote that we could cultivate to counteract delusions and negativities. So that would serve the purpose. Particularly, there are certain antidotes which are very powerful. And for example, one of the most powerful antidotes to purify our negativities is to meditate on emptiness, shunyata or sunata, emptiness of phenomena. And also we could be reciting, you know, mantras, or we could be, you know, doing our prayers or commitments. If our motivation behind is to purify our negativities, then any of these antidotes, you know, works fine. So that is part of our purification practice.
And
of course, if we cultivate the altruistic mind of enlightenment or altruism for simplicity's sake, bodhicitta, changju is the same in Tibetan, and then that is the most powerful antidote we could apply to purify ourselves of negativities. And as a matter of fact, as Geshe-la quoted the lines, great Indian Bodhisattva Mahasattva Shantideva states in his Guide to Bodhisattva's Way of Life, Bodhisattva Char Avatar in Sanskrit states that if you want to transform these contaminated aggregates that we have, body and mind, which are impure in nature. Impure, why? Because these aggregates are the results of deluded states of mind and contaminated karmic actions. Now, if you want to transform our impure aggregates into the enlightened and pure aggregates of Buddhas, because Buddha's body, speech, and mind are completely pure and free of all obscurations and negativities, then cultivating bodhicitta or altruism is an essential and key thing. You know, it is like a golden elixir that can transform these iron-like bodies or aggregates into the gold-like, pure, enlightened bodies. So right now we may not have, and as a matter of fact most of us don't have, bodhicitta or the altruism in our mind as defined according to Buddhist literature. But having said that, but that's our aspiration too. We would like to generate bodhicitta or altruism within our mind. We would like to become Buddha for the sake of all other sentient beings. So we start cultivating that kind of an attitude, although at the beginning or at our stage it's more like contriving such attitude. We are just kind of generating purposely such an attitude because there's no such attitude in us. But through this process and mechanism that we are able to cultivate bodhicitta slowly, and so we make sincere effort to cultivate bodhicitta.
I will not harm others. I will not damage others. I will make stop damage others, harm others. That's kind of, if you think about, really great, you know, great result. Even now, it's not yet bodhicitta yet. Really it is. So our more practice is the really harm, make stop the harm, damage others by our mind, speech, body. That's the very important things. We made a negative action with others. So now then that's on to change positive thinking for the others. Negative thinking for the others
damage harm others. We try to make it change that one and try to make things better. Other way around. I will take care of others, including even enemies, some mean to us. That's those kind of thoughts, really, really very important. Practice misdeed, something very up here, there, you don't think about this way. From the basic, from the bottom, we need more important every day for life with others. This is very important things, really, it is, including myself, really. We are mean others, think about it. Don't look, the teachings say here, don't look at others by negative ways. Try to make it positive. Even you saw something false from the others, but maybe there's someone, maybe my side is wrong, my idea is wrong, not necessarily from the others. So the example is, I think many times Angela did for me. So, you know, in the sky, so someone's, you know, to me, they can see somebody. Because when there's a side is wrong, they can see true means. But there's no true means. Just like that, that is the example for the, when we see the others, you know, something false, see from others, but not necessarily. They're thinking that's way or talking that's way or babbling, you know, means that by actions no harm to me or nothing damaging me, but only my thinking, only my idea. So try to think about this. We always, we say, understand each other is very important. There, people say that. Even political people, they say, we should need understanding together. Means each other to understand. Real understanding is really what you wanted, that's also the others. You want happy, joy, don't want trouble, difficult, yourself. Same thing in anyone or others. So that's why we will not harm damage others. This is very important things. Tenzin, now continue, please.
Jesus, I was saying that, you know, as a part of cultivating altruism, even though we don't have the real bodhicitta yet, but when we make an effort to generate it, that it, effort itself is very, you know, positive and, you know, meaningful. And so we learn as a part of cultivating bodhicitta, as Jesus, you know, said very clearly, not to harm anybody and not to try to see faults in others. Because what we see in others, our perceptions may not necessarily be true, you know. So we could be wrong in our perceptions.
So that to see. Any time, teach if you didn't was here. Maranzo call a call go at the wrong Judy, any time you move a separate.
And we also need to recognize that the reason why each of us is wandering in samsara or cyclic existence, this kind of problematic situation where we find ourselves trapped in, is because of delusions that each of us has within our own mind. So nobody has put us into samsara. We cannot point at somebody, another human being or another being, say, well, he or she or they are the responsible. They caught me and put me into samsara. Nobody did that. Nobody could do that. What really put us in samsara, our, you know, is our own individual deluded states of mind.
So
what really binds us within samsara or cyclical existence is, as Manjushri Lama Tsongkhapa, who is also known as Jai Rinpoche, has stated, that it's our own attachment to sensual objects and pleasures. It is our own deluded state of mind called attachment. We can take many different forms, craving, lust, and all of that. We collectively put together and call it attachment, dvesha. That is which binds us in the prison of samsara.
And the chakti, maripi, that nyoma wa tsamalu maripi kuin hongi kuya res. Yena ya maripi kuin hongi nani ta, nyoma wa yenshi nani, the chakti ta,
Deep down, we could say that ignorance is that which pervades all other forms of delusions we have, because, you know, being grounded, if you will, in ignorance, avidya in Sanskrit, that all other forms of delusions arise in our mind, and then we engage in all kinds of negative and destructive actions. But of all different forms of delusions, attachment that arises out of ignorance is a primary delusion.
Kashi pesu nangiris, dechati pena kyugui kala nung tigwa jama nangisi. Nung tigwa di kyugui kala javi zan, tangbo tali chungkyu ki matiwa, tati ndugu sin pa jat tamni. Ani shio kasi ina ti pe ta, karisi nung sando kutuos, ti nangisi changiris.
Attachment, it may pop up as, kind of a little and insignificant at the beginning, but then it is really kind of a sneaking that it pervades, slowly into, many other, our state of mind and our actions. And an example given to illustrate this point is that if we have a clean sheet of paper and we drop an oil on that paper, even if it's a little drop, at the beginning it's a little drop, but then wait for, for a little bit. Now that oil, as it, sinks into the paper, it slowly, spreads more and covers more space on the paper. So attachment is like that.
So that is it. Lechi, QSCP jatsu chers. Ta leta. Leta nyomu, ta kunjunga leta, nyomu wata kunjunga leta, lechi, ane, sipi jatsu le chek, ta dusi korni korni, te, ane, rokwa te shingiru, te, lenye nyubu chagu yoris. Lechi sipi, lere, ta leta res.
And so, it is one's own delusions, such as attachment, and contaminated karmic actions, which arise from delusions, are the factors which bind us in samsara or cyclic existence. So if you are thinking, say, why am I in this ocean of samsara? What has brought me into this or flushed me into this ocean? Then it is the tributaries of contaminated karmic actions and the delusions which have forced us into this ocean of samsara.
That question I'm asking is, samsara is the pestane ki lungba na kuzo san tangshin. That the induction in a jetical dead is less than tongues. Quite a rangel, you dear, so
I think I explained this before, but I want to remind you one more time that when we talk about Kaurava or samsara, which is the Sanskrit word now adopted very well in English, or cyclic existence, we must not think of samsara or cyclic existence as if it is a geographical location. you know, out there. So if you are in that location, you are in samsara. If you are not in that location, you are not in samsara. That's not the understanding of samsara. Samsara is something that is conjoined with our own state of mind and our own body and mind. So it is not so much of an external location or a country to be in, but it's something associated with our own aggregates. So what we need to do in order to free ourselves from samsara is we need to free ourselves from delusions and contaminated karmic actions. We need to put an end to delusions and contaminated karmic actions. So the point I'm trying to make here is whenever we are able to put an end to, you know, stop delusions and contaminated karmic actions, it is at that point of time we as individuals are liberated from samsara or cyclical existence. That's where we find nirvana or nibbana. Now, if you're wondering, okay, now where do the delusions and contaminated karmic actions come about? What is the source of all of this? The real source is, our grasping at self through truly existent self, and then the fabrications which are coming out of that grasping. Well, if grasping at the true existence of I or self and the fabrications coming out of it, those are the real sources of delusions and contaminated karmic actions, then how can we cut through those sources or the roots, if you will? Well, this is where we need to study, analyze, and meditate on the selflessness or emptiness. So what I've just explained is based upon what great Indian master Arya Nagarjuna has stated elsewhere, and Geshe-la very eloquently quoted the lines from his memory, where he said that, you know, the delusions and contaminated karmic actions, they are the products of grasping at true self and the fabrications of that grasping. And to put an end to all of those things, one should meditate on emptiness or shunyata. Well, now you ask, okay, if it's very important to realize emptiness or shunyata, then, what is the best method to approach shunyata or emptiness? Well, the best method to approach shunyata is try to understand what is known as dependent arising or dependent origination in Tibetan called tenjung, pratit samutpad in Sanskrit. As great Indian master Arya Chandrakirti has stated clearly, and Geshe-la again quoted the lines from his memory, that it is using the reasoning of dependent arising or dependent origination, interdependent origination, that one could cut through the network of misconceptions related with self. And so this is what it is, you know, we use the reasoning of dependent arising like a weapon or a sword to cut through the network of misconceptions related with self. Now let's return to our text called Miscellaneous Collection of Kadamba Geshe's Advices, and we will continue from where we left off last time. Great Adisha continues to tell us that we must use every antidote we could find in order to abandon our attachment and clinging to this life and this life's aims and objectives. Now this is very important, excuse me, is because if we are so much caught up with this life's aims and objectives, and we are so attached to this life and everything about this life, then our life really becomes very busy and only about this life. So which means we will miss the opportunity to study and practice spirituality or Dharma, and as a matter of fact, we won't find any time to do it, and that means we will always get stuck in the same predicament or samsara. So we need to find antidote to abandon attachment and clinging to this life. Of course, there are many antidotes to counteract our attachment and clinging to this life and this life's aims and objectives and activities. And some of those antidotes we already talked about earlier. But one of the you know, the things that prominently mentioned is to cultivate a sense of renunciation or aversion to the miseries in cyclic existence. Now, if you see the frivolousness, the meaninglessness of much of the things we do in this lifetime related to just this life, then we will start to develop aversion to the you know, meaningless of this life, and we will be able to have a higher vision, you know, goals. And so that is one of really prominent antidotes to deal with attachment to this life.
Lama tang tro chepra chen shi pondro shepa la che yi shir mgaz. Ta lama tang tisin pondro 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 tro shepa la ten ta gabu shekar. Kanshi ta lama tang tro chepra chen ke ane kovil nele chaji yomare kovil ta kovan digi ane ta kar shekar ta sindi ane sindi la chaji ke ane shawa mangpo dhriba ta chiji yomare sindu sinta lame ka nang tro chepra
And Adisha tells us that when our lamas or the spiritual gurus or the mentors or teachers and the special friends, you know, they help us to abandon attachment and clinging to this life's activities and goals, then we should listen to them. And for example, lamas or the teachers, they explain things to us, the nature of samsara, the frivolousness of activities of this lifetime, and so on. And the other special friends might help us to realize that. They could only help us. but individuals have to do things by themselves. So when they help us, assist us in to abandon attachment and clinging to this life, then we should be really happy with them, you know. There's no reason why we shouldn't be happy with their help.
Mm. Tad sindi nangye doyat es, shiva shimi nangye doyat es, ane kanda dike lamsu na shuna ke sung duwa.
Nos.
Ah, karse te. Tadi.
Tanjo ni
ka tsela lomme ka yelo kombi chin nangye dos jesun.
In the three principal paths by Manjushri Lama Tsongkhapa or Jerembuche, there are, you know, also antidotes being provided, which is how to deal with and get rid of attachment to this life and this life's goals and activities, and how to get rid of attachment to next life, meaning in the samsara, and to its goals and objectives. Lama Tsongkhapa states, if you meditate on the preciousness of fully endowed human form, precious human life, and how this wonderful life is also transient or impermanent, okay, so not much thing can be taken for granted before this life could come to end. And if we meditate on those features of our life, then that will help us to deal with and get rid of attachment and clinging to this life, this life's goals and activities.
Tā lēngrē mē lō kōwī dōngā nā yāng sāndā shēmī nā kī dōs. Shēmī nā wā tā kēmbā dōbā shēpā lā, anē lēngrē mē lō yīn sāng pāng wār tā. Tā kōwī dōngī sāng wār. Kōwā lā yāng nā yīdō kōr dē dōngī, tā dōngī nā jū tā sāng tā shī nā, anē shēwā shēmā gāy tā, alā chāpā shēg mār tā. Yāng sāndā shēmī nā wā tā kēmbā dōng wār yīs kā nā nō.
And then Lama Tsongkhapa continues to say that lende melukove tungana yanya san shime nashito. If we meditate over and again on the infallible working of law of karma, law of karmic actions, as well as the suffering nature of samsara, now if we focus on these two aspects and repeatedly meditate on them, then we will be able to get rid of our attachment and clinging to the marvels of future lives in samsara.
No, that's part in this. The piano, ni karasigore. Atay, niyembo tenju ta niyembo tengu re soka number. That niyembo tenju dosi ni ta samsara toni abu dos.
So Adisha simply said that we should apply every antidote we could find to counteract our attachment this life at its goals and objectives. So I have given you more information about what kind of antidotes we could apply.
Ani jimba tongdi sani, jimbe yul ta shida sani purin jene ta karsa di shijua maris. Ani gadu ta nga tili shijua maris pena, ta karsa ti. Ani kiba shita yu, jimbe yul, yul shida yobi gane rang sengu toni kiba tango resi. Kari ti shiya de rang lada lame shenga la ani sengi jitun, ātēn shēngjī tāngjī jī tēyōn rūpa tēyāni kē lāngi wā rūpa sā. Sōnsā tēy, jīmbē yū, yū jī ngūyī nī chēpa yuwa nā yā, rāng ngūyī nī chēpa mē wā jīmbā tāngu rā sā tā nā.
And Great Adisha continues to tell us that having pledged or made a commitment in the presence of gurus, lamas, or the teachers, as well as meditational deities, to benefit sentient beings, then we must not discriminate among the sentient beings as we practice generosity. Even if there are differences from the side of the sentient beings, from our own, you know, way of thinking or practice point of view, we must not discriminate among them. So what that means is that as we are practicing giving or generosity, you know, we must not be biased towards those who we are helping. You know, we must not classify them into, a better one here, nicer one, people or a being, and then these are the not so nice. Do not categorize the sentient beings into that way as we practice giving. The fact of the matter is that, you know, among sentient beings, there are differences. Maybe, yes, there are the nice ones and there are not so nice ones and all of that. But from our practice point of view, from the point of view of our way of thinking, having met the commitment that we are going to work for the benefit of all sentient beings, we make that commitment in the presence of gurus and deities, then we should treat them all equally. We must not be biased towards them, even though from their side, you know, maybe there are reasons to be biased against them, but we should not do that.
Mm-hmm.
明年龙开园呢，你应该做不起，龙个三个月没，应该做不起。那你们店呢？这个日子我写的，这个日子呢，别让他管的这些。那是。今年这，我打开这个单，龙店的呢，就是这些的，不是这个的专门的东西，专门的东西，这肯定是不是？ Take a moment to consider this situation that, you know, you're out on the street, you see these two street people, you know, both are equally needy, so they need your help, and they ask for your help, but one person is, you know, drunk, but other person is, you know, he's sane, not drunk, and but you don't seem to really give money to the one who is drunk, but only to the others. Why is that?
Ini kunci itu, kita lain dari tu sendu. Kita rasa dengan itu lakukan pekerja tapi nak kau ni cantum ni, cikres. Tapi kurang tu sahaja sosi ini kita cantum sendu cegu amar was. Kurang ke ni sulit dengan cegu rumah tu kau cantum ya cegu amar was. Siapa kaya amar ni?
Because one of the reasons often people say is, you know what, oh, we must not give money to the drunk, you know, people, because then they go and get more drunk, you know. And that's the reason often provided. But here, you know, one of the things when we look from another side here is that when we give money or help them, you know, we are not helping them with the motivation that, okay, so you should go and get drunk more. You know, so that's not part of our motivation. We are just here simply to fulfill the needs, help their needs, you know. So once we help with our own good motivation, what they do with their money is a different matter. So that's what Adiksha is telling us. Even though from this, from the point of view of the sentient beings or the people we have, there are differences. Like this in example, you know, two needy people, street people, but the only difference is one is drunk and one's not drunk. So there are differences from their side. But from our side, as, you know, we wanted to help them, we must not, discriminate among them or being biased to one or other.
Dayan yin ga rama zebe she ya rama zebe she chena zu zang yi ta ta na ye ke ki a ne ka se ta tu le ta pe ki se ne chu te ve ki te se ne zan ba ta ki ze ta tu ji zi ki na ro na se ne trans ne pe ngan jam ba te le ne ba te ya ta ti yo res ka ji ke te le te ne yin da te le ma te ya ta ka re ti nge di me de ji ra bas ri chi jam ne.
Oh, let me change my situation slightly here. Okay, so we are not talking about drunk or not drunk here anymore. So there are two needy people. Well, one has a better attitude and other has got an attitude. Okay, they both need something. And one comes really, really politely and nicely. You know, could you please help me with something? And I really appreciate you and all that. The other comes with a little bit of attitude, you know. It is as if, like, you owe something to them. You know, so which one you are more likely to help? I think you are more likely to help the one who is, you know, nice talking, you know. But you will ignore the one who comes with an attitude. So from our practice point of view, a practice of generosity, wanting to help in others, you know, we must not, we just should help, you know, with good motivation. We must not discriminate among them. Let's say that after the teaching you're going out and you meet two people, one comes and just, you know, really respects you, bows down to you or whatever, and say hi. And another comes and just, you know, slaps on your face. Which of the two are you going to respect? Are you going to respect them both equally or not?
I think
that's something we need to really consider, you know, think about.
Challenges is the legit maribes.
So I think we often talk about, you know, we need to face challenges, you know, in our practice or whatever, in our life. And I really don't know what the English word challenge means. I'm asking you. Isn't that what the challenge is about? When we have to face a situation or somebody who gives us challenge or make it more difficult, then we have to withstand that. I thought that is the understanding of challenge. So in which case, the one who slaps on our face is the one who is posing the challenge. And we should be able to withstand that. Isn't that called facing the challenge? Yes, you know, Adisha has clearly stated here, he said, yeah, among the sentient beings or people, there are differences. He's not denying that. Yes, we may find differences among the beings, you know, nasty ones and the nice ones and all of that. But in terms of cultivating bodhicitta or training our mind to generate bodhicitta or to do our practice, all sentient beings are equally important to us. So from that point of view, we cannot be biased towards some or other.
Yes.
I think that's a great advice for all of us, and we should think about it. So just to make my point one more time, you know, somebody comes with a fisted, you know, hand, or someone comes with a big smile on the face, yes, from the point of view of the two persons or the individuals, there are big differences. One has fisted hand, angry perhaps, the other one is a big smile and looks like a nice person. But from our practice point of view, we as practitioners, to cultivate bodhicitta or altruism, to do our practice, both of them are equally important to us. So we should not discriminate, you know, against them.
All right, teach. That, really, never have a common person with that.
Yes.
Around the two, never think it will pass control magic, control CGM, is that?
And then Adisha goes to tell us that when somebody harms us, we must not be angry or upset with those harmful agents. So if we, you know, get mad with those who harm us, these harmful agents, then Adisha says, how can we practice patience? How do we practice patience if we are going to get mad and angry with those who harm us?
So never see at the lüta ngata yisum ku gon never seen gores ta tende sin gete le ne pa du sin dolen sin ne pa du chebe ne ne zeba gon san yum do ta
Those who harm us, you know, they do it also through the actions of body, speech, and mind. But then if we do the same thing back to them, use our actions of body, speech, and mind to harm them or to retaliate against them, well, then how do we really cultivate patience?
Then, I say,
So if you are really serious about cultivating Bodhisattva's attitude or altruism, then not only that we cannot retaliate against those who harm us, we actually, as a matter of fact, need to, how should I say, bring more benefits, at least wish to bring more benefits to them.
That zeba gumsi zebe kapsen onna mangbuti de chunna ba singil pa zeba gan de gongu mi den dusni all tan joje kanan yoris
I think later we will hear more from Atisha on how to cultivate patience in relation to those who harm us
tai chunna ba singil pa len lon de chebe ani kar pengres ani Never say simple that never chagrebes, and then Padin Dauta was soon to.
Great Indian master Arya Chandrakirti states clearly elsewhere, and Geshe-la quoted the lines from his memory. So basically he's telling us what is the point of retaliating against those who harm us. And that's just a useless thing. He said, by returning their harm, does that help us not to, you know, to get rid of the pain which we already experienced? Well, what's the point of doing that? And does that help? If someone beats us, and then if we beat them, does that beating back help us, you know, not to experience the pain that was already inflicted on us by that other beating? And does that help us? So if not, so what's the point of doing that? So if someone, you know, really gives a blow on our face, and if we do the same thing back, does that hitting back, you know, help us not to have the pain that's already experienced, you know?
You are safe. Remember?
No. So if somebody slaps on our face and we slap back, does that slapping back help us not to, you know, feel the pain on our own face from that other slap? And it's the same with using the harsh words. You know, if somebody says nasty thing to us and we say nasty thing to back, does that saying nasty thing back help us not to get hurt, which we have already been hurt in our feeling? I mean, does that help us not to, you know, experience that hurt?
I see. Tenzu kanga ani ngunye tuni pa songi ba tenzu pe misi an sanu lus tangbi na ko ngunye ran chagdo wajte.
I think if you really take time and really look into these things and really think deeply, I think these masters tell us, you know, they've got the truth, you know, on their side. And they're right. I mean, aren't they?
That's the thing they're yelling. This one is your bit.
And we will stop there, and I have two quick announcements to make. July 6th is coming around, which is on Thursday, and that is the birthday of His Holiness the Dalai Lama. And so in the evening at 7:30, there will be a very simple ceremony to observe His Holiness, to celebrate His Holiness' birthday by doing what is called chalk offering. In English, that's what we so far have. It's called feast offering. It's not just like, you know, a dinner or something, but it is like when we bring different offerings of fruits and, you know, other good stuff, and we go through some blessing rituals, and then we offer them, and then we can distribute them among people. So that's what the talk offering is. And it will be at 7:30, and usually, I mean, the talk offering is not open to everybody, but because of the special occasion, Geshe-la wants to invite everybody who wants to come, or who have a time to come. And also, I think the local Tibetans will also be joining there for the celebration. And I was told that there's going to be cake too. And my second announcement is about, and as many of you already know, and we announced this before, that there is, in the U.S. Congress, you know, many representatives would like to honor His Holiness the Dalai Lama with the highest civilian honor called Congressional Gold Medal. Now, that needs 2/3, you know, vote in favor of doing that. And we have been campaigning, in that regard. And so we have some names of the representatives. We kept it in the lobby. Seems like these representatives have not been reached yet.
Yes,
you know, so I think there's still like 1 or 2 weeks left, you know, for this whole thing to complete. So we need still at least, my understanding is like 40 or 50 more representatives to pitch in, and then there will be majority. And so we need your help in this regard. Please try to help us, you know, call the numbers or email them, or maybe you have a way to get around the contact information, and so that it would be great if we could honor His Holiness with this medal that he truly deserves for all his contributions to the world. So before we break up for lunch, let us dedicate our collective merit for the flourishing of Dharma, the source of benefits and happiness throughout the universe. May His Holiness the Dalai Lama and all other great holy masters live long and be successful in fulfilling their visions, benefiting sentient beings. May spiritual communities throughout the world and spiritual practitioners, particularly monastics and lay practitioners, remain healthy, harmonious, and be successful in fulfilling their spiritual aspirations. May these and other world environments be free of all kinds of unwanted pains and problems, and beings find peace, happiness, prosperity, and spirituality. In short, we dedicate our collective merit for all kind mother sentient beings to be free from the fears and dangers of 2 types of mental obscuration, and may we all reach complete enlightenment quickly.
Same to a rainbow,
What?